Curious about what was your very first work?
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. I did some things for Charlton when Al Fago was the editor.
Oh, yes.
They were for hot rod and racing cars.
Mm-hmm.
I did a bunch of, they were cartoon cars, very similar to the Disney movie Cars.
Oh, yes.
Only they were done a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was really the first. But before that, I was assistant to a cartoonist.
Uh-huh.
His name was Frank Caron. He was an animator.
Oh, yeah. Did you do any animated movies at all?
No, I never did it. And he wasn't doing animation either at that time. He was doing comic books.
Yeah.
And he was packaging these small-sized comic books for Acme Supermarkets.
Uh-huh.
And there were four titles. I remember them distinctly. One of them was Dodo the Clown that he did. Another one was Captain Atom that Lou Ravaglielli did. His brother was a famous sports illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, Dave Gantz did it. It was a teenage character. And the fourth one was the first comic book, or the first work, really, that Jack Davis ever did. It was called Lucky Star. He had just come up from the South, and I don't know how he met Frank Caron, but that was the very first comic book he did, before he even did anything for EC.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. You said there's a Captain Atom?
Yeah.
Was he like a superhero? Or
yes.
Any similar relationship to the Captain Atom from Charlton Comics that was later on?
No.
No.
No. This was way before.
Way before, okay.
This was probably, I'm going to take a guess, I was still going to high school, so it must have been probably 1950.
1950. Okay, and you were working at Charlton. What was the company like then? Like, how did it operate?
Well, at that point, Al Fago had an office on 42nd Street and Broadway, right on Times Square. The building was just torn down a couple of years ago. And, you know, you just go up there. It was very impersonal. You would just go up, give him what you had, and if he had a script for you, you'd take it back. Otherwise, you'd play the game of calling him up and, asking for work.
Yeah. I know later on, Charlton was known for paying, very low page rates, and it was very piecemeal. And was it like that in the early days?
It was a little better at this time. I think they were paying, I mean, it wasn't anything great, but I think they were paying around $25 a page.
Oh, yeah, and that was around 1950s, or?
Yeah, that was probably 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Early 1951,
yeah.
Tops.
I was curious. I know L.B. Cole worked on the covers of some of the books that you did. Do you know him well, or do you know?
Well, I knew him. Yeah. I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's still around.
I'm not sure either.
He was also the editor of Classic Comics for a while.
Oh yes.
And then he was also the editor of Dell. When Dell pulled away from Western Publishing to start up their own comic book operation, he was the editor.
Oh, yes. And what was he like?
He treated me very nice.
He treated you nice?
He always did.
Yeah.
But a lot of people did not like him.
Uh-huh.
And there was always talk about that he was on the take, but
uh-huh.
I can only say that he is the one who took me to lunch. I
uh-huh.
never paid for a lunch,
uh-huh.
and I never gave him a nickel, and I never even heard of it. But
yeah.
Lately, I have heard stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Moving on up a little bit, I know you were working at Charlton. You were doing Blue Beetle, and
yeah.
I know some of your work ended up in that notorious book, Seduction of the Innocent.
Yes, it did. I was working for Sal Cohen. He was the editor of Avon Comics.
Mm-hmm.
let's see, this must have been about 1953-54.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
And at that point, they were taking paperback covers that they had. They had the separations all done, and transporting them into a comic book cover. And the one that I worked on was, it was one of these whip and black stocking covers that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I edited it down. I cut it down so that there was very little showing.
Uh-huh.
But that's one of the ones that made it into the book.
Yeah, the one you toned down is the one that they
right.
brought
if
up,
I had never toned it down, it would have been on the cover.
That's funny.
But they were notoriously cheap, Avon.
Yeah.
And so was Sal Cohn. They paid well. They had good people working for them. Woody was working for them at that time. Everett Kinsler was. Quite a number of guys doing things there. A.C. Hollingsworth.
Uh-huh.
I know. Rex Maxson.
Mm-hmm.
He did, I don't know if it was the first comic strip of Tarzan, but a Daily Tarzan. He was really more like a pulp illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that rough thing. It did not translate well in comics.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he was very friendly with Sal Cohn, so he got lots of work. He did Kit Carson. That was the book that he...
Yeah. I know you did a lot of work with Bill Fraconio.
Fraccio.
Oh. Yeah, Fraccio. Well, how did you meet him?
I met him at Frank Caron. Bill was doing some work for Frank. He was doing a thing called Sunny Sunshine for it was a little girl character that Sunshine Bakeries gave away every few months.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank was the packager of the book, and Bill worked for him. And that's how I met him. And we did a lot of things together.
Yeah, I know. There's some mix-up whether he was inking you or whether you were penciling or...
Yeah, well, it's not a mix-up because we were doing both.
Yeah.
You know, I would pencil some, he would ink some, vice versa. You know, it was like one of those things, you know. I was really the guy that went out and got the work.
Uh-huh.
Bill never liked to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends. If he was working on something else, then I would, you know, I would start the project off. You know, I'd do the pencils. But it was a fun time.
Yeah. Actually, I want to move over to your Dell work.
Mm-hmm.
You did one important comic book called Lobo.
Yes. Two and a half issues.
Two and a half issues. What happened to the other half? I know two issues got published.
Well, I have some of the pages here. They never got the... let's back off just a little bit.
Yeah.
At this point, L.B. Cole was no longer the editor at Dell.
Uh-huh.
His assistant, a guy named D.J. Arneson. Hey, nobody had first names. They all had letters. That's funny. D.J. Arneson was the editor. And he had an idea for a book and approached me with it. And I did a sample cover, which we brought over to a publisher. No, which we showed to Dell, and Dell turned it down. They didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to another publisher. He was a book publisher, and they loved it. And it was the Great Society comic book.
Uh-huh.
It was the first adult political satire.
Yes.
Nothing had been done for a while since Kennedy was assassinated. This was the first humor look at politics some 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it, and it got on the New York Times bestseller list. It was featured in Newsweek magazine. We were in like 100 newspapers as a news story, not as a book. We were on radio, television. We sold the foreign rights to the book. We really did a bang-up job on it.
Mm-hmm.
And just about at that time, I had an idea for Lobo, and I approached DJ Arneson, and he brought it into and showed it to Helen Myers. Helen Myers was the editor of all of Dell. She was the first female to become president of a publishing company. It's a very important historical note, you know, Helen Myers.
Yes.
And she loved it. She really wanted to do it. Great. So we did it. We did the first issue. And, of course, in comics, you start the second issue just about as they're being printed, as they're printing the first one, because of time limitation. And we did the second one, and it was out being separated. By this time, the first one was being distributed. And all of a sudden, they stopped the wagon. It was too late to stop production of the second one, second issue. But they discovered that they were sending bundles of comics out to the various distributors, and they were being returned unopened. And they couldn't figure out why until they, you know, sniffed around, scattered around, and they discovered they were opposed to Lobo because it was the first black Western hero. And so that was the end of the book. The book, you know, it sold nothing.
Wow.
I mean, the first issue, they printed 200,000. That was the going print rate. If they sold 10, 15,000, it was tremendous because they never got onto the newsstand. So that was the end of Lobo. And it's kind of funny because after all these years, you know, Temple honored me for doing it. You know, it never succeeded on the stands, but it did break a little ground, I hope.
Yeah. Well, it did, because right afterwards you saw black heroes everywhere, like a Marvel. They put out Black Panther and...
Yeah, but that's much later.
Yeah, no, that was much later. Lobo was the first one.
Yep, this is 1966.
Yeah.
The others were Marvel comics, and they were in the late 70s or even early 80s. So, you know, a great deal of time passed, and by then it was an accepted thing. It wasn't... you know, a novelty. Or it wasn't meant to be a novelty. It was meant to be a... Because Lobo was a veteran of the Civil War.
Yes.
Who was accused wrongly of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to... You know, it was not, you know, a goof on anything. It was a pretty straight thing.
Yes.
And... but it never got off the ground. Simply because the distributors were... prejudiced bastards. That's
Who wrote the character, the first issue, or?
We really wrote it together, DJ Arneson and I.
Oh, okay.
It was my idea, and I knew what I wanted to do, and then he just put it together.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. That was a big question that everybody had. We all knew that you drew it, but we just didn't know who was like who created the character and what was behind it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I created it, and DJ and I, you know.
Yeah.
We wrote it together. It wasn't really writing. It was like, you know, interpreting the character, and you know, I guess we wrote it.
Yeah. Also, was he like more like scripting it, or was he plotting it, or?
I really plotted it, and then he scripted it.
Oh, okay. So he did the plot and the art, and then he did the scripting. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I know you. Like you mentioned before, The Great Society, and also Bob Mann and Teddy.
Yeah, that was
books.
The sequel to The Great Society.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, how did those sell on the newsstand?
They sold very well.
They sold very well.
Yeah. In fact, I was on Walter Cronkite in the news. He did an interview with me.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. You know? I mean, this is a comic book we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, like I said, there had been no humor for like 2 years, and this like broke... a little comic relief, you know. And in fact, about 2 years ago, I got a letter from the Johnson Library in Austin, Texas. I don't know how they tracked me down, and they said that they would like to have a copy of the book and anything else I may have to put into their library, into a permanent collection. And I looked around and I sent them a poster that we used and a copy of the book. And shortly after that, I got a letter from Linda Bird Johnson, his daughter.
Oh, yes?
Asking, do you have an extra one for me? I said, sure. And I sent her one, and she sent me an autographed picture of herself.
Yeah.
Now, this is funny. Now, I have it hanging up in my studio with a lot of other stuff. And about, maybe 6 months ago, I discovered that her signature faded. You can't read it. It looks like it's an unsigned photo.
Yeah.
So I'm in the throes the next week or so. I'm going to send it back to her and say, hey, did Tricky Dicky do this?
Yeah.
You know? Maybe you could re-sign it for me.
Yeah. I know those books, they had covers that were made with, like, anti-tear paper.
Yeah, it was really a very lightweight board with, instead of a varnish on it, they put a varnish that looked like canvas.
Mm-hmm.
It had a tooth to it, so it really bulked up the cover.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, the cover, because a lot of these were sold in bookstores.
Uh-huh.
Very few of them were sold over the newsstand.
Oh, wow. Did you, so it didn't go on newsstands very much? It was mainly
in
bookstores?
No, like maybe the American News Company. I mean, they were the better newsstands, you know, the ones in, airports and, not the mom-and-pop stores.
Yeah.
And because of that, they had very little returns, and they sold a heck of a lot. They must have sold maybe, 500,000-600,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was a dollar comic book. So this is, you know, you're talking about, an unheard of thing.
Quite a bit more than 12 cents. And
oh, it was a dime
at
that point, yeah. And it was not a kid's book.
No.
It was an adult book.
I was wondering why you didn't continue on doing more of them after Bob, Man, and Teddy.
Well, because the fad ended. It was a quick fad.
Yeah.
We were kind of lucky because Batman and Robin were on TV as a put-on, and that helped with sales of Bob, Man, and Teddy.
Oh, yes.
And, but, you know, like if the Great Society sold 500,000, Bob, Man, and Teddy sold 150,000.
Yeah.
You know, so the writing's on a wall. You're not going to do another one.
Yeah. I know you went over to Warren.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a lot of work for them.
Yeah. In fact, Bill and I worked together.
Yes.
We had, what the heck would they call ourselves? Oh, I can't think of it. We made up a name.
Oh, yeah. William... Some?
Williamson.
Yes.
Williamson. Tony Williamson, right.
Yeah. For the two of you working together, I heard Al Williamson. He just left Warren at the time, and at first he didn't like the name because he thought people would confuse you with them, and then you had to change the spelling of the name a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. I know you also drew, like, one of the earliest Vampirella stories in the very
That's
first
right,
issue.
That's right, the first issue.
Yeah.
In fact, I worked on the... the character of the character sketches, I think they used some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely we did stuff on the first issue of Vampirella. In fact, I get a Christmas card from them every year.
Oh, from Jim Warren?
Yeah.
Yes. What's he up to these days? Do you know? Or?
Yeah, he keeps saying he's going to come back. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But
yeah.
You know, because I don't think he has the money to do anything. Because at that time, he was really in with the distributor, which most comic publishers were.
Yeah.
Because it's a big nut to finance a book. By the time you get paid, you're into, 6-7 months. So if you're putting out a bi-monthly, you have laid out a lot of money for art and printing, distribution, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big nut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a major publisher like Dell could do it, you know, no problem. But even Timely or Marvel, at that time, they had their own distributor. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Atlas was the name of their distributor, which was the same company.
Yes. Let's see. And I know with Warren Publishing, they always did everything in black and white, just about.
Yes.
Did you like working in black and white versus color?
It was fun. It was different because, with the exception of Great Society, Bob Mann and Teddy, and a couple of things I did for Classic Comics. I never got to have a say on the color. You know, it was given out to coloring studios, and that's it. Whatever color they put in, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is an opportunity to do black and white, just what you wanted,
yeah.
And that was it. So it was good.
Yeah. Did you do any work for Marvel or DC in your career?
No.
No?
No.
It's
funny because when I graduated high school, I went to a high school that specialized in art. It was called the School of Industrial Arts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in the business
went there, yeah.
Yeah, Al Toth, who just passed away.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people went there, Joe Giella. Anyway, when I graduated, I won the Superman DC Award, which was a drawing table. And it's the one I'm still using.
Uh-huh.
And that was my last touch with Superman. Our paths just never crossed.
Yeah.
I was always doing something else. You know, I just never went there.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Marvel. The closest connection to Marvel was, what the heck was the name of the humor book that they had? Cracked or Sick.
Oh, yeah, one of those
one
bad
of those
spin-off
magazines.
Might have been Brand Each or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. That was for Layton? I don't know.
Yeah.
He was the editor. A long time ago.
Yeah.
But I really, got out of the comic book area in the early 70s. Well, the comic book area left me. Because
mm-hmm.
in the early 70s, it just went, the whole business went kaput.
Yeah.
And luckily, I was able to transfer into doing children's books. And I've been doing children's books ever since. I mean, I've had, my wife went through a count several months ago, and it was over 1,000 titles. So there's a lot of children's books. And one series that I've done for kids' books has sold like 16, 17 million copies worldwide.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
I mean, that's an enormous amount.
Yeah.
And it's still selling.
Because
mm-hmm. they just dress it up a little, put in a new cover or whatever.
So was there a particular type of character or genre that you like to work in when in the comic industry? Like, did you prefer, like, cowboys or horror, or was it just all work?
Yeah, it was really a little bit of everything. I mean, I did whatever I could get a hold of. I think most people did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any artist that really specialized in a particular thing. Can you think of one?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jack Davis started out in Westerns, and he was kind of pinned into that until he went to EC. And then he started doing everything. The only thing I don't think he ever did was a romance story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did a romance cover one time for a Charlton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to remember that Charlton paid very low. And because of that, you had to do an awful lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a splash page where a couple were embracing. And the girl had three hands. And I meant to white one of them out.
Oh, yeah.
But I never got to it. And it went all the way through. I printed it, you know. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
The editor didn't think so, but hell, it's his fault, too. He looked at it.
Yeah. He didn't see it himself, so.
Right.
Let's see. Well, let's go back a little bit and... I'm thinking, because I know, like, who your inspirations were for, like, drawing. Was there anyone that you, like, Kenneth or...
Oh, sure. My days, it was Kenneth, Raymond, and Noel Sickles.
Yeah.
Those were the three. And illustrators, of course, Rockwell, Al Parker was another one, and Austin Briggs. Those were it. And Austin Briggs did comics. He did Flash Gordon for a long time. And Al Parker was more of a designy illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And Rockwell, you know, everybody knows Rockwell.
Yeah. Did you ever try to get into comic strips at all?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do any work, like, even as a ghost or...?
Yeah, well, I did my own thing. My wife and I did a strip for 17 years.
Oh, yes.
Called Trivia Treat.
Uh-huh.
And it was two pals on a page. One was an illustrated question, and the next two were written questions. And then there was an answer on upside down.
Uh-huh.
And it was based on trivia. You know, what was the name of Gene Autry's horse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, Hop Along Cat, whatever. And the thing lasted for 17 years. It was,
When did that start?
Pardon?
When about did you start doing the trivia treats? Well, do you know when it ended?
Yeah, it ended in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s?
Yeah, and at that time, my wife had kind of withdrawn from it.
Yeah.
And my son was writing it.
Uh-huh.
He also does a feature for Tribune Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
Tribune was the syndicate for this, for Trivia Treat.
Yeah.
But my son does a thing called Word Salsa. It's a word search puzzle that is half in Spanish and half in English. And it's been running about 3 years, and it's in about 75 pages.
Uh-huh.
And I also did a thing called Zap the Video Chap, which lasted a year. That was from a North Syndicate. And then I've ghosted other stuff. I did Nancy for a while. Davy Jones, which was an adventure strip. I can't think of any others.
Yeah. Did you do any like cartoons or even advertising type?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Sure. I had a studio in the city. I had space in the city with an ad agency and then a studio. And I did lots of stuff. I mean, I can't even think of Ford, Singer's Sewing Machine. Pan Am was a very heavy user of comics.
Mm-hmm.
For the GIs to fly, to take a Pan Am flight back to the States. You know, when they had a week leave or, you know,
mm-hmm.
10 days, whatever.
And did you do any other work for the Army, or is it just through Pan Am, or?
No, it was
no.
Strictly Pan Am. I never did anything for the Army.
I'm just curious, did you serve any time at all, like in the Army?
No.
No. Managed to bypass all that, eh?
It was just one of those things. I was too young, and then I was too old.
Yeah. I guess you're one of the lucky ones, eh?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I didn't plan it that way. It just happened.
Well, no, I guess your parents did it.
Well, I doubt if they planned it.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of my parents, you know, when I was about 12, 13, you know, I told them I wanted to be an artist. And they were really very happy about it. And as the word got through the family, everybody said that they were nuts and I was wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 50-some years later, I don't think I wasted my time.
Yeah. Now, if you made a good living at it, then you definitely didn't.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it, and I'm still enjoying it, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah. So what are you doing nowadays?
Well, Kids Book is my prime account.
Mm-hmm.
I do just about everything that they that I come up with. Just stepping back a bit, I also create my own stuff, and I write my own.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my son writes it with me. So that just about everything that I come up with, Kids Books buys and publishes. I'm doing a series of picture find books based on classic stories. The first one is Tom Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be doing about, I think, about 10 or 12. And then after that, it's going to be famous people. Muhammad Ali is in there. Rosa Parks. It's their life story, but with hidden pictures in it.
Oh, yes.
So that the kids, you know, will really be part of the story.
Mm-hmm.